bricks and like every other building. But the Maisa, this is a Nes. The Maisa of Hanukkah. What do I mean by a Nes? When this building was planned in 1940, my grandfather, Fonovi Jarov, managed to get out, or was thrown out, whatever. Long story. From Lithuania. And he came here, he was supposed to go to America to be a delegation. They should take the Jews from Lita, a whole story. Nothing came out of it. The Russians came in and not the Germans. Afterwards the Germans came. So he was stuck here. But he realized right away that Eastern Europe is finished. The yeshivas are going to be finished. Poland has already been taken over by the Germans. And Lithuania was also, the Lithuanian government was afraid that any day they're going to come in, the Germans, and take over Lithuania also. So, what's going to be? What's going to be? Whatever was, will be. What was? Torah, yeshivas. Klal Yisrael was around, always with yeshivas. Avram, Zoken, Yoshev, Yeshiva. From the beginning. Klal Yisrael never kept on going without yeshivas, without Torah. So there'll be a need. So we planned in 1940 this building with upstairs the ulam. Today it's much too small. People tell me, Bochrim, your grandfather had such foresight. Why did he build so small? But at that time there weren't enough Bochrim in all of Eretz Yisrael to fill up the ulam upstairs. It was looked at like a wild thing. It was so bad that the architect who made the building, planned it, took him to court. He was supposed to be paid according to the progress of the building. First floor you get so much percent, this side you get that side, until you finish the building then you'll be 100%. So people told him that, well, are you crazy? Anybody's going to build such a building? It's just dreams. So he took him to court because you're not going to pay him. He worked even more. It was Rabboni, not Balabatim and not Flyer. What are we doing with Pono Bijorov? He's going around talking about opening a yeshiva for hundreds of Bochrim. Seems the war hit him. Something's gone wrong with him. They didn't know what to do. You can't take Pono Bijorov to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. What do we do? You're laughing, but that was very serious at the time. So they found some younger man who was a frumer guy who worked in this field. And of course they asked him, should go to the Pono Bijorov, and he should go in and see what's going on, see what we can do. Of course he comes in, grandfather was then in Tel Aviv still, and he asked my grandfather right away, so what's the Rov going to do here in Eretz Yisrael now? So, I'm building yeshiva, hundreds of bochrim, the whole. So when he came out, they asked him, well, what's the prognosis? So he said, the man is full of crazy ideas, but he's 100% normal. I don't know how to deal with something like that. That's how they looked at it. So the fact that there is today one of his yeshiva, all the other yeshivas, whatever there is, that's a plain Nes. That's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My grandfather, I heard it from someone who was here. There were two Bochrim, 1940-41. They were learning in Pesach Tikva in the yeshiva. And they were here for Shabbos in Bnei Brak. They were walking down the hill. All of a sudden they see an old man standing on a barren hill. And the constable said, come up. So they came running. Yeah, and then starts giving them a guided tour of a barren hill. Here we're going to have the Olam for hundreds and hundreds of Bokhrim. Here's one dormitory, here's another dormitory, here's the cafeteria, here we have a library. It's a whole big thing. And they left. About 10 years later, when we had the Chanukah Tabayis, so one of them came over to my grandfather, and he asked him, the Rav remembers me? So he looked at him and said, no, tell me from where I should remember you, maybe that'll help. So he told him, the Rav took us a guided tour of the hill. At the time there was nothing there, Shabbos. He says, nah, I can't remember, so many people like that, I can't remember exactly. But tell me, huh? You were laughing at me, right? It's Chasu Sholem. No. He didn't laugh at my face. But inside you were laughing. Let's not kid ourselves. You were laughing. Now you see the building, you see a yeshiva full of bochrim. You are a witness to the kiyum habris v'ani zois brisi yoislam omar Hashem. There's a bris from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a witness to the kiyum habris. There was nothing, it was a laugh. And now take a look what's going on. That's all because the bris from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dvarish hasamti b'fiha, that's Torah. You're a witness to the kiyum habris. And he added on that, I remember in Farakwa in the Joshua, when I was a kid. What's Pshat Mani Zois Brisi Oisam? According to Hebrew Dikduk, it should be Mani Zois Brisi Itam. A bris, you make a treaty between two, one and the other. What's Oisam? He said, it's not Itam. You're not a partner to the Kiyom HaBris. If you want, if you don't want, I'm making the bris on you. There will be Torah. I'm not asking you if you want or you don't want. That's the bris. And that's what we see here. And that's the Nes. And the Maisa, that's a continuation of Hanukkah. We saw the whole time taken in here about Chomez, and we hear a Nes Ruach Hashem. Maisa, these are all byproducts. What is the main thing? What do we say in Al HaNisim? Al HaNisim is like one thing. What was the war about? It wasn't about that there should be a Greek flag on top or another flag, or who's going to take taxes. May Matishov and Yoshanaka and God of Hashmoni Yovonov, Shamda Malchus Yovan or Shoah Al Amcho Yisrael. What did they want? Two things. Lashkicham Torosecha u'laviram mechukei Ritzonecha. That's all they wanted. They didn't want anything else. The other things are ways to do it. And then because Baruch Hu made Nisim and so on and so on, that's already the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. But the whole war was about these two things. Lashkicham Torosecha u'laviram mechukei Ritzonecha. And that was all Nisim made, that shouldn't go through. And if we take a look further, what do we say? Rabin Babiatim, Iboyim Biat, Haloshim. Now we understand, that's a less. And we continue though. Tzmeim Biat Tehoirim, Shoim Biat Tzadikim, Zeidim Biat Rizke Yisrael Tzachalot. What kind of ness is that? It can happen. It's not a ness. And because we learn Torah of Chaloshim, well, we said already, the boy we have Chaloshim. No. Those who won the war weren't just soldiers. They were not biyad ka'ilu sheyasku batoira. After they win the war, they'll come and they'll be Yosef batoira. Shas Maisa b'Shas Mulchama, they were Tahirim, they were Tzadikim. Usually in a Mulchama, it's a Hefka place. You can't keep mitzvahs, even if you want. It's very hard to learn Torah. Maybe Tehillim you can say a little bit, but to really immerse himself, to be a oiske soirosecha, that's very hard. No, but they were the ones, the Dafke, being that the Yevonim wanted we shouldn't be oiske soirah. So the Muhammad was with ourselves, we should stay oiske toirah, even in the middle of the war. What does it mean? I mean, we're not in this much regular, but we have to know where we're holding. What's going on? I remember my grandfather used to tell, he had a Kabbalah, a Shach. It was in Litter afterwards, it was in Poland. Zeres Tachtat, the biggest Zeres from the Cossacks, came out from Russia. They were Machlet, hundreds of thousands of Jews they killed at the time. Burnt down both in the Groshim, everything was the fell. One of the biggest Xeris till World War II. And Shach was caught in the middle of all this. And he was sitting in a Beis Medrash and learning. All of a sudden, you see through the window, the Cossacks are encircling the Beis Medrash. He has no way to go. He can't run out. Standing by the door. Jump out the window. They're all around outside. What can he do? So he did what he could, even though it's the mice are nothing. He hid under the table, one of the tables in the Beis Medrash. And the Cossacks came into the Beis Medrash, and they took a look. Nobody here. So they figured, all right, nobody's in the Beis Medrash, so they're not going to start looking so much. They walked around, went around, they didn't see anybody. And they left. And so we stayed with the Shach. The Shbah who saved the Shach. But what was the Shach doing at the time while he was hiding under the one of the most biggest, longest Shachs in Choshen Mishpat? He was Mechadeh there under the table. In Yoni Chazoke. You have to be very cool headed to. That he was mechadish under the table. You know, Cossacks are here, they don't know. That's oiske soirosecha b'shas milchoma. And that's the realness of Chanukah. So the fact that we have today people who are learning, yeshivas who are learning, whatever's going on is possibly a continuation of that ness of Chanukah. We're continuing that ness. Again, the Shemen is a byproduct to show Havosai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all byproducts. Winning the war, because otherwise they wouldn't let you learn. That's what it's all about. And that's what we have to remember. And being that we're a continuation, it's not just to say Al HaNisim, you have to live it. You have to do what you can. To be in Oiske Soirosecha. It's not a mitzvah to be Meyati. A mitzvah is to be Oiske Soirosecha, to be Tzadikim. Now that's what we have to do. And the mice, it's all a mess. Grandfather used to tell the Yod from Chofetz Chaim, when a mice in Volozhin, way back in the days of Reb Chaim Volozhin. A bacha from Balozhin, from the town, parents came, he's going to America. That time America, even, it's a shmad. What do we do? We have to say, Shiva, what are we supposed to do in such a matzav? And Balozhin has said, give me 3 days to think about it. After the 3 days, he came back, and he said, whatever he does, yeah, good, not good. Oh, but the bottom line is, before Moshiach comes, Torah will have to go through the whole world. So we're going to have Torah in America also. That's it. So nothing can do. There'll be Torah in America. And my grandfather added on, that's what they said in LA, anybody here from Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard it there, but it was Rabbi Summers, you know, the brother. He heard it from my grandfather. My grandfather told him the story of Chaim Volozhiner. And he says, Torah in America does not mean just New York, New Jersey. Torah in America means Los Angeles also. And after Torah in Los Angeles. And at that time, it wasn't even a dream. I think it was even more of a dream than building a yeshiva here. I don't know what's more. And today, Baruch Hashem, you have so many koilanim there and yeshivas, it's just unbelievable. Because that's the way of Torah. Boldness. It's unbelievable, it's against the facts, of course. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Yeah. And that's what we're here for, that's the real thing. And my father told me, he remembers when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he went up to the Galil with a friend of his, and they were up there, and there was a tour guide, there was a few other people from America or from Africa, I don't know, from there, and he's telling them about this old olive tree that's standing there. This is 1,000 years old, this olive tree. The olive trees grow, they're alive for a long time. And they were all wondering, 1,000 years, which... My father said, I was thinking something else completely when I was standing on the side there of him. Thinking, what does this olive tree think? What is the olive tree thinking? He's thinking, I remember when Bakiva was standing here and he was talking about the Mishnah, if you can use shelig, snow, for a mikveh or not. That was 1,000 years ago. And now you have here Yeshiva Bochrim, they're talking about the same thing. So it all changes, but the end, that's what comes back. Nothing really changed over 1,000 years. The same shelig, you can use snow for a mikveh, was a shayla 1,000 years ago, and it's a shayla now. That's what the olive tree think. We can't make cheshbonos, we don't know, we have no idea, we don't understand what's going on. And the Maaseh, Yosef, Parshas HaShavua, Yosef, Yehuda, Tomo, and that just says, what was going on? What do you mean? Everybody knew what's going on. Yaakov Avinu, Betanisoi, Ve'evloi, Albinoi, Reuven, Besakoi, Betanisoi, Zvisa Tshuva, Yehuda, Yorad Meis, Echob, Tadreita Maisa, Mitatomo, Yosef, he's sitting in Mitzrayim and Eved. Yehuda went as if right, the Medrash Rabbah says. He said, let's spread out and finish. It's not going, see, not going. Everybody should go his own way. Beis Yankev is finished. It doesn't go. Huh? That's what everybody saw. And that was a Mitzias. You know, everything, what I said till now, what the Medrash says, everything is right. Not that they didn't see the right things. Everything is right. That's what they saw. V'akodesh Baruch Hu Amimel Ani Boire Es Oirei Shom Moshiach. I need this whole story. If it wouldn't be for Mechiras Yosef, Yehuda would have stayed there. He wouldn't have met Tomo. There would be from Tomo with Yehuda came out Peretz. From Peretz Beis David. Beis David comes Moshiach. So this whole story, all what's going on over there, is Avdom had to get to Moshiach. So we see things, we see right, but we don't understand what we're seeing. It looks like who knows what. And the Maisa from this comes out that son of Doiris and Doiris. That's what do we have in 1492? Columbus What was going on in 1492 in Spain when he left? Gerosforat. So, Gerosforat, the first to Schmart. In the same port where Columbus left, it was Tisha B'Av he left, and the day after, the Abarbanel also left. In the same port, in another ship. Gerus Fora. That's it. And what came out? Now to Schmad and to finish everything. Ferdinand and Isabella decided they're sending someone to look for the Indies. In short, what did they do, actually? They discovered America. How would we look like today without an American? That Radovid Klal Yisrael, the Maizik. Took a few years, but that saved Klal Yisrael. If there would have been no America, where would you all be? Where would everybody be? Where would Klal Yisrael be? Who would, let's say you had some yeshivas here in Eretz Yisrael, but that's all because of American money. What? Wouldn't have been anything. So who saved the Meister Jewry? Not just American Jewry, the whole world Jewry. Ferdinand and Isabella. They look like the big people. They're getting rid of the Jews. They're schmudding them away. And without realizing it, they saved Klal Yisrael. Not right away, a few years later. Yesh Bailim Nebirazu, as Avraham Avinu said. There's a balabos here, people. You don't do what you want. There's a balabos, and he does what he wants. You don't like it? You're trying to fight against it? Okay. The reason, the exeris, things, prices. But I'm going to use you to save them. You don't do what you want. You see the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Paro was goyzel. Kol ha'yeder ha'yilo ye'oiro tashmichuhu. Got to get rid of everybody. He saw a dream. Moshiach shel Yisrael is going to be born. Kill out all this. Finished. And he was very, very successful. He killed everyone. But one. One managed to get out. And what happened with him? Paro's daughter found him. She brought him home to Paro's castle. Who brought him up? Paro brought him up. It's handsome medicine. Not Stam, he went there, but it was a joke on Paro. Paro taught him how to be a melech. Achsifei Malchus. How to fear, how to run a country. How to run a nation. He learned that by Paro. Paro wasn't some idiot. He was very... a lot of seichel. And he taught him how to do everything. And he was Moshiach Shel Yisrael. So Paro thought that he did it, everything is okay. In the end, he was the instrument to make Moshe Rabbeinu Moshiach Shel Yisrael. So we see things and we don't know what we're seeing. We get our Cheshbon is all wrong. One and one is two, of course. But we forget that there's another one. Echot. That changes the whole arithmetic here. And that's what Chalak is really about. Those Nisim try to consider yourself on everything. It won't work. Doesn't go. Because Klal Yisrael stayed Ois Kesei Ratzach. And we both have been part of this. Thank God for this book. And my grandfather said once, they made a meeting in Yerushalayim to make money for yeshivas. All together, all the yeshivas together. And they were all speaking about the Tire is in Sakona. What's going to happen? What's going to be? Let's save the Tire. We have to help the yeshivas. Save the Tire. And my grandfather got up the last speaker. They kept him till the end so people should stay. He was well known. I don't know if anybody here who met him ever. But he was one of the greatest speakers. So they stayed. I don't stay to hear him. And he got up and started to say, whatever was said till now is wrong. Torah is not in danger. There is no such thing. Torah is here. There's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He's taking care of the Torah. We don't have to save it. He'll save it. He'll do whatever has to be done. Our tafkid is that we should be zoiche, that we should have a chelek in helping keep up the Torah. That's what we have to do. And that's this way of keeping up the Torah, by self-learning and helping others learn. That's all. So if both should help us, we should be zeche in Gichen to see Moshiach Tzidkenu, Vinyan Beis HaMikdosh, and we should be able to light the menorah in the Eichel.
Amen. Amen.
Good.